Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, hello, hello. It's KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. John and I have you until the pregame for the opener of NFL 2024's season. John, that's Gerard Mayo saying, look, I've been talking to other guys trying to understand what the day-to-day grind is of being an NFL head coach. And I am kind of bothered that already. I am hearing the talk of, oh, he's just not cut out for it. Like, damn, the game is not till Sunday. But yet there are already knives out for the guy. I don't get it.
Hi, KJ. And I get it to an extent, right? So part of it's a twofold thing to me. Part of it is unfair and part of it is fair. The unfair part is, I would say, for at least the next 2 to 3 years, every single thing he does is going to be viewed through the prism of the guy he's following. And that's never fair. Look, it happens to everybody, right? The Bulls players that played after Michael Jordan got viewed through that prism, right? It happens literally everywhere. When a legend leaves, the next guy in that position is always viewed through that prism. And it's never fair. But that's the way it is. And I think the other thing is, there's been some things this offseason. Look, there's been some positive things this offseason, but there have been some moments where, you know, there's been some mixed messages. And even if the end result was good, there's maybe a question about exactly how the process went. And I think with some folks, they look at it and say, well, for 24 years or however long it was, we had a set process, a set decision maker that we knew right or wrong how things were getting done. Now there's a little more uncertainty there. Again, some of it's unfair. Some of it he and the team have brought on themselves. And I think that's where you get into this questioning of things before, as you said, they've even taken a snap in the regular season.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I hear people say, oh, well, because of Belichick, and you just mentioned, I'm like, I don't care who you bring in. I don't care if you bring Tom Landry back from the dead. You can't compare him to Bill Belichick. Maybe you have a better case with him.
I agree with you, but I just think you and I know that's going to happen and is happening.
Well, I think that's because people believe that Gerard Mayo has never been in a situation where there was a legend before you, and when that legend left, you seemed uncertain, and I say that's not true. Go back to when Gerard Mayo was at Tennessee, and what was the narrative when Peyton Manning left Tennessee? Oh, there goes their chance to win a championship. And guess what happened the year after Peyton Manning left? Gerard Mayo was there, and T. Martin, they won a championship. So Gerard Mayo has already been in a situation where people are saying, oh, you guys, what, you've missed your window.
Mayo wasn't there right after Manning. He was there like 10 years later. I'm not trying to call you out. I just don't I think it lines up to like.
So either way, there has been a situation where it didn't in Tennessee. Let's just take Gerard Mayo out of it. They said it wasn't going to happen when a legend was there. And then the next year it happened. They got what they would deserve because people came together. I'm just saying when you come from that environment, okay, because he comes from that environment where, hey, Peyton represented one thing. The thing they were chasing after happened. Then he gets there, so he knows what that environment's like, okay? So we save myself that 10 years there.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying, though, is
you don't have to be Bill Belichick part two. You just have to recapture this culture. You know there are going to be some games that you're going to be in and lose, and there are going to be some games in that people are going to be like, oh, wow, you pulled it off. I went back and looked, John. I believe there is a way this team could win six games this year. It may sound crazy, but it does kind of line up with where the odds are.
And I think this is the other side of all this, too, is like people have to be realistic in their expectations, right? We're talking about a team with a rookie head coach, a rookie GM. I know his title is Executive Vice President Player Personnel. You're going to have a rookie probably at some point start for you at quarterback, but at the very least you have a journeyman starting at quarterback for you now. You're without your best defensive player for at least half the year, maybe the whole year, and you won four games last year, right? Like, I think people have to be realistic, too. Like, if this team wins five games, I'm not going to be happy they won five games, but technically even that's an improvement over last year, right? And the situation that Mayo and Wolf and a lot of these guys are coming into. I mean, how many shows did you and I do, KJ, in December and January last year? And all we could talk about was the disarray. All we could talk about was the disarray of the Patriots offense and how it was the downfall of their entire season. I mean, look, defensively, they can still be pretty good, but this offense and special teams too, they're rebuilding those things almost from scratch in a lot of places, especially at key spots. So I think we also have to be fair about the expectations, because for 20 years, the expectations were you were going to be a top three team in the NFL every year. Now you might be a bottom three team. And I'm not saying it's going to maybe quite that bad, but it's a reasonable expectation to have. And I think there are some folks that are having a tough time moving on from one set of expectations to the other.
617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lyons, an abbreviated version. We're here to 720, getting you ready for the Chiefs and Ravens. I think kickoff is at 8, but the pregame starts at 720. Keywords still to come, Jags, BC's B.O.B., Kansas City, Drake May, 9.5, Patriots parody song coming at 620. So here's the thing that I think has been... Here's the issue that I may have with Mayo down the road is if you get into the season and you're seeing questionable calls being made in what seem to be simple situations, maybe taking a risk where you don't need to, or maybe being too conservative in a situation where you feel like there's no getting it back. I'll give you an example. Like if you're down six and you've got the ball with 4 minutes left and you have to, you know, you decide to punt instead of going for it. You're like, okay, you have to know that this offense isn't going to get you down the field quickly. Why would you punt in that situation? I think those are all fair assessments of Gerard Mayo. I'm just thinking that, hey, in a situation where you have a rookie quarterback who you've said from top that there's a good chance that this guy's going to be your number two, why get up caught up in the weeds when he said, okay, there is a bit of a competition? Could it have not just been to give Drake May a bit of a push for himself to at least know that, hey, I'm going to make it seem like you have a shot, and if you play well, then I know what we can work with behind the scenes to get you ready for when you really do step in there and probably don't get replaced?
It certainly, you know, could have been a bonus of it, but I don't think that was really the main motivation without reading his mind. It just seemed like there was a little bit of that mixed message from multiple places too, right? It was, hey, he's our starter. No, it's a competition. Hey, he's our starter. No, it's a competition. Then a separate press conference to say, yes, he is the starter. And mixed in there is Alex Van Pelt saying, well, what's stopping Drake May is Jacoby. So it just felt like
So it sounds like they were together on their mixed messaging, does it not?
Well, that's the thing, because I feel like deep down, the plan all along was we're going to bring May along slowly and start Brissette, which is fine. I agree with that plan, personally. It just felt like their messages got muddied kind of in the waters as they went along. And on one hand, look, you and I are in the media. I used to coach. As a coach, someone in the media, like what the coach says to the media in the grand scheme of things, not a big deal. Like you and I can sit here and complain about it, but it's not a big deal. What's the concern is if he gives mixed messages and then different guys on the team have to answer for different mixed messages, or is he giving those mixed messages behind closed doors to the team and causing some kind of confusion and uncertainty there? Like that's where I think some of the angst, if you will, among people, or some of the skepticism kind of comes from. It's not just that he told the media a couple different things. It's that there's multiple messages over multiple times. He's a rookie doing it, so it makes it look like it's a rookie mistake that maybe he's going to learn from. So I think that's where some of this, like if he was a fifth-year coach and he was given some of these messages, I don't think we would be spending as much time talking about them, right? But the rookie piece of it, I think, adds another layer to it.
Well, it's if you're talking about the Belichick comparison, when Belichick was a rookie coach, he kind of did the same thing in Cleveland where he went away from the beloved Bernie Kosar for Vinny Testaverde, and that upset a whole lot of people. And sometimes you have to make these tough decisions that are going to get you to that next level. That's why to that next level. I'm not saying that, you know, he's at boss level. So
no, I get what you're saying, though.
Right, but so with the Judon situation, I thought that was probably the real first tough decision that he had to make that had nothing to do with what was going on in terms of weeks 1 through 17. And I think that's, hey, am I going to keep a guy here who is now openly unhappy, roaming the hallways, not getting what he wants, or do I make that move, or an assistant make that move with Elliot Wolf, to remove that person from here and then really have control of the team? Because if you say, who is the leader of the locker room going into the season and there were no problems, who would he have said? Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
Right. So if you knew that you had problems with the perceptive leader of the locker room and you're able to get rid of him, that is a great executive move before it becomes a problem. Because imagine if Judon is in season, or let's say he's holding out and it gets into week 3 or 4. Now you're trying to prepare for the next week's opponent and then deal with the media and deal with the player and his agent. So those things are off the table. Those could have been real things. Imagine if Judon went into the season still with no deal and then decided that he was just going to hold out. How much more of that would have a distraction that would be for a rookie head coach?
Yeah, and I think the Judon situation is a good example, kind of going along with this quarterback situation stuff, where I think they got a really good result, right? You didn't have to pay him. You got a third-round pick, and you got rid of a guy who, by the end, probably was sick of being here unless you had overpaid him, right? But the process along the way, and this is not just Mayo, this is Wolf too, I think there's some mistakes in there that they definitely need to learn from, right? Like, and you and I have talked about this before. This was not, to me, a July or August problem. This was a February and March problem that continued to manifest itself and came to a head in July and August, right? They should have foreseen that if they paid everyone around Judon, that he was going to get pissed. And by the way, I'm not saying I disagree with them not paying Judon. He's an older player coming off an injury at a position that, yeah, might
help
you.
2 years in a row.
Yeah, that might help you win a game or two, but it's not going to make you a Super Bowl contender, right? So I'm not saying but I think they should have realized that earlier, and then earlier on in the spring, either traded him then, extended him then, or gone to him and said, hey, get through training camp healthy, get through the first part of the season healthy, and we'll give you more money. And they didn't do any of those things, and then it kind of blew up on them. And while they got a good result in the end, right, hey, third-round pick, you didn't have to pay him, the
right.
Headache out of the locker room's
gone. He doesn't have an extension out of it.
Exactly, right? Even though it's a good result, I think you got to keep an eye on the process, and there's some mistakes there because this is not going to be the first time a player is upset about their contract, and they got to be able to handle it a little bit better along the way.
I would be a little more critical, or I would be in this boat of the criticism that I am hearing about Mayo if this team finished 9-8 last year, 10-7, where you say, hey, okay, let's say Belichick retires, okay,
sure.
And you put a first-year head coach in there, you would say, hey, there's some stability in here that exists where you have wins. This is a playoff team. Let's say it missed the playoff by a game or got eliminated in the first round or in a wild card game or something like that. Then I would say, yeah, you need to be more on top of things. Like that car already has to be doing 70 on the interstate with these decisions you're making. But because this is a rebuild, you're going to, you know, sometimes you hit a hit, you hit a nail wrong where you're putting in plywood. That happens. But I think you don't have that type of room for mistake if the team was more successful last year, right? So there would be other, we wouldn't have a quarterback situation. Clearly, you wouldn't be drafting at three. You may have some other, you might still have an offensive line problem, but you would figure that, okay, this is just a player or two and good mental acumen from the coach away from getting this team closer to an AFC championship game. That's where I would join in that. Because it's a rebuild, like, why are all guns pointed at Gerard Mayo? And I don't mean to say that figuratively, considering everything's going on. But just, you know, why just all these just arrows and darts towards the guy, and he hasn't even coached a single game? I'm trying to figure it out. Is it because he's from Virginia? What?
No, I think it's those two things, right? I think it's who he's following, which is the unfair part of it. And I think it's just some of that mixed messaging over the year. And there also might be kind of this latent anger and frustration from Patriots fans that, hey, we were the best team in the league for 20 years, number 12 left, won somewhere else. Things kind of fell off with Belichick the last 2 years. He gets fired. So maybe there's some latent frustration that just no matter who would have been the head coach now, you would have seen some of that as well.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Could the Patriots win 6 or 7 games next season? I might try and prove that here. We'll talk about their schedule. Plus the Patriots parody song about the offensive line. There's no line in front of you that's next. But right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. Tanner Houck gave up a grand slam to Jesse Winker in the first inning of yesterday's Red Sox matchup against the Mets, and it didn't get much better from there. The Mets defeated the Sox 8-3. Your final from Flushing. Sox fall back to 500, now having lost 5 in a row and sitting 5.5 games back in the wild card hunt, currently tied with the Tigers and Mariners. They have the night off tonight as they get ready to host the historically bad Chicago White Sox for a weekend series at Fenway Park. Tomorrow night is the first game. Nick Pivetta taking on Davis Martin. First pitch at 7:10. You can catch the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10. Patriots back in action at practice today down at Gillette as they continue to get ready for their week one matchup in Cincinnati against the Bengals Sunday at 1 o'clock from Paul Brown Stadium. Bengals news, after holding in for the entirety of training camp, three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase was back on the practice field with the Bengals yesterday. NFL season officially gets underway tonight as the Ravens are in Kansas City to take on the two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs looking to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. Kickoff will be at 8:20 from Arrowhead. Don't forget, you can listen to that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage coming to you right after KJ and Lyons starting at 7:30. Or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Timeout Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lyons coming up after this.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever.
Of.
And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Out routes and curls, so not in this world. Linebackers chasing, my QB's getting wasted. There's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
They might say blitz, and you say oh. But hey, don't you worry, Cole Strange will still sit. Cause there's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
I know you feel where I'm coming from. You don't want to see three different QB1s. Brissett and May in the ground on the run. Offensive line carousel being spun. Protection on the left side, trying to get some. QB running around or getting smacked dumb. It's how you lose a QB before you get one. And honestly, it's scaring some. And this is nonsense, the line's a damn mess. Maybe call 13 personnel. Don't want to sound redundant, but I was wondering, is Trent Williams still available?
Nope.
That's next year, Hard Knocks TV episode.
Watching defenses, zero blitzing from the go.
Hear me screaming at the TV, at the O-line.
No, no.
Curls, not in this world. Linebackers chasing, my QB's getting wasted. There's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you, babe.
They might say blitz, and you say oh. But hey, don't you worry, Cole Strange will still sit. Cause there's no line in front of you.
No line in front of you.
No line in front of you,
babe.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out. Think about how bad it is, John. We're saying, man, they're missing Cole Strange, and as bad as Cole Strange has been, this Patriots offensive line is going to be something else.
And the best part, KJ, is that song we just heard is actually the second best KJ song we'll hear tonight, because Just a Jag is coming up later.
Well, and see, Justin, yeah.
I know it's a
bit. That's a wonderful tease, yes.
I know it's a bit. It's not a full parody, but Just a Jag is the best one you've ever come up with. You got to put that on your Spotify page. KJ's parodies.
You know what? Technically Odyssey goes against Spotify, so I don't want to go against those who pay
Wherever you need to put it.
Yeah, so like Death Row is the label that pays me.
That's true.
But
don't want to be on that East Coast hip hop.
There you go. I just saw Tupac 2 minutes ago. What happened?
No. Hopefully it wasn't at a casino.
But look, turn your head too quick, and I hate to say it, Brissett and possibly May could find themselves in Suge Knight's front seat of his car. Just absolutely just riddled. And that's my concern with this team moving forward is – And I think it also goes into why you never really were going to put Drake May out there is because, hey, if Drake May goes down early in the season with an injury, right? Because think about it. They say the healthiest day at any NFL. I would love for the Greg Hill Show to ask Ty Law, when was your healthiest day in the NFL? And they will all tell you, the day before I played a game.
Yeah.
After that, it was never the same. So you don't want to do that to your future, potentially go down, and then Jacoby Brissett really be the quarterback for the entire season.
Yeah, look, and I've said this basically since he was drafted, that I would not have played. When he was drafted originally, I did a show the night after here, and I said I would not play May until either Halloween or Christmas, right? That was my original projection, right? That
Christmas week, is a long time, I would say.
Right, no, but hear me, like the week 9 against Tennessee game and or that week kind of 15-16 Arizona-Buffalo range. I think he's done enough this summer to up that timetable, right? So from where I was, however, I still would not play him right away, and I think they made the right decision for a couple of reasons, right? Number one is his own development. I think what's getting lost in all this discussion is, yes, he's gotten better this summer, but he still has some things to continue to get better and work on, right? Like, it's not like he just magically became a top 20 starting quarterback in the league overnight, right? He got better and better all summer. He's still got things to work on. But also, take that aside, where the Patriots are at on offense, like, they have, by PFF standards, the worst offensive line in the NFL, okay?
If I'm you sure want, the receiver core is not far behind.
If you want to, if you believe PFF or not, I like PFF, but whether they have them rated as the worst, just my eyes tell me they're down near the bottom.
I like PFF, too, especially when I can't get any.
And the, go on. No, the receiving core, right? So the receiving core, Kendrick Bourne's their best receiver. He's going to start the season not playing, right? And I like Jalen Polk, but that's a rookie working his way in.
Cole Strange might be the third best offensive lineman.
And then you have a running back group that I think is good. That's good enough to win. But then an offensive coordinator that hasn't called plays full time since 2009. So people always are like, well, what difference is 4 or 5 weeks going to make? Well, it actually can make a huge difference, right? Whether people want to admit it or not, 4 or 5 weeks in NFL season, your offensive line can improve. Now, I know with this line, there's only so much of a ceiling there, but it can improve at least a little bit. Your receivers can get more used to, especially your young ones, playing in games. Your offensive coordinator who hasn't called plays full time in 15 years might kind of figure out, hey, what am I good at calling? What am I comfortable with? What are we good at? What do I need to make sure I have ready? So that way, when May does start, whether it's week 5, week 9, whenever, your offense is in a better place than what it was in now. Because I think you can agree, KJ, if their offense is in the same place as what we saw in the joint practice against the Eagles or the game against the Commanders, that's not an environment a rookie quarterback
should be. You mean what we've last seen?
Yeah, right. That's not an environment a rookie quarterback should be playing in.
617-779-7937, text line 37937. Join the conversation with KJ and Lyons, the most underrated and undervalued show in America.
Yeah, so what do you usually say? It's a, like a 20-pound show in a 5-pound bag?
20-pound show in a 5-pound bag. So I mean, look.
Tonight, an hour and a half, we're like a 20-pound show in a 2.5-pound bag.
Yeah, there it is. And you know, is it Zach, our producer, is it Zach that knows the local, the little spot around the corner from here? Is it him or was it Jacob that admitted? If you've ever followed the KJ and Lyons show on weekends, it's a very, it's kind of like a, it's like vaudeville, a bit of it. John is the serious guy. He's the one. The rest of it's vaudeville.
KJ's the radio pro.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait until I tell you about a story in Kansas City with a guy named Fred and a kid named Chris and KJ in the room. That's coming. But look, let's look at the schedule and let's see where you say week 9 that Drake May jumps in.
So right now, I'm thinking week 5 against Miami at home.
Wow, you've moved it up.
Yeah, so but that's my
Christmas
point.
Christmas like, in week 5 or two.
Right, so like I was originally months. Like my, I had Christmas in the back of my mind. Usually, I was much more like week 9 against Tennessee on the road November 3rd, right? I think he's played good enough. I'm open to week 5 against Miami on October 6th.
I'm going to say week 7. And here,
in London, right?
Yeah, in London, right? Because I think, one, it takes away the, because that's the crazy thing about those London games. Yeah, you could say because the Jags have been going there every year that it's a Jags home game. I would say no. You're going to see a lot of Patriots jerseys there because of the heavy fan base that would go to Germany and some of the London games as well. So there, it would almost be like a 50-50 crowd, I would almost. Maybe a little bit more towards the Jags, right? But I think it's going to be one. It's such a neutral crowd that people are just going to appreciate that you're there, and that'll be a good environment for Drake May. So I think that's the good starting point for him. But here are the key weeks, I think, for the Patriots, and I think they could win 7 games. Week 2, they could... 7.
All right.
This is crazy, right? No, but follow the logic, okay? Right. 2, 7, 9, 10, 11, 13, and 15. Now you're like, okay, they're going to go on a win streak? This is possible because look at it. Week 2, I believe they can beat Seattle with the new head coaching staff. They're going to be coming across from the West Coast to the East Coast playing a 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time game. And do you really think that Geno Smith is so lights out that the Patriots defense can't handle him?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Like, I don't think the Patriots win that game, but I understand your logic.
Okay, so because all we could go with is really just what is a how can you logically get there without just saying it just to try and grab noise, okay? Week 7, as I mentioned, in London, that could be a neutral situation. You don't know where Jacksonville is at that point. I think they're going to have a weird season. We've got go under or go over. That's coming up in 15 minutes. I think Jacksonville might be that team that you continue to see some slip. Okay. In week 10, you got Titans. That's a bad team.
Yeah. Oh, I like, so that's the thing. Like, if you look at that week 9, 10, like all that stretch, like the Titans are bad. Chicago's unpredictable.
You know? Right. It's a rookie. Like if you said if there would be something advantageous for the Patriots to step into would be a solid defense going up against a rookie quarterback. I know there's a lot of hype with Caleb Williams, but if he's already running around in preseason, I'm wondering, is he really taking in his reads the way he should be? And what is it going to look like when the game speed hits? That's why I say, hey, look, out of May and out of Williams and out of Daniels, I think by sitting May just a little bit longer could potentially give him the better of the career of those three guys just because of using caution early on. So you're like, okay, KJ, you think they'll beat the Rams? And I ask you this. Is there a chance that Matthew Stafford may be hurt by the time you get to week 13?
And I also think with the Rams, like, again, I don't know if the Patriots will win that game specifically, but there's no Aaron Donald anymore. And that's, I think people are glossing over how big a loss that is for the Rams. I
mean, yes.
That's the best defensive player in the NFL. And I know the Rams have some nice young pieces, but as I said, the best defensive player in the NFL retired. Like, that's a big loss.
But if there's no Matthew Stafford, hello, Stetson Bennett. And if you're telling me you're going up against Stetson Bennett...
Isn't he still in college?
No, Stetson Bennett.
No, well, I mean, yeah.
He's like the guy at Miami who's in his ninth year in college. It's like, let's just call it what it is. You're in college for 9 years because you can buy beer for the team, right?
Yeah.
So the Colts in week 13, really, aren't you going up against the rookie quarterback all over again? You know, Anthony Richardson is really still... They're still trying to figure out what his story is.
And it could be cold weather at Gillette that day.
There you go. And then the Cardinals, which is going to be the most fascinating game because you're like, okay, here are two teams that you would say potentially could be evenly matched and the defense could get to Kyler Murray. You would be obviously worried about Marvin Harrison Jr., what he could do. But you would figure that after going on this run in weeks 9, 10, 11, and 13, that this Cardinals game in week 15 may be the seventh game they win, but then would lose the rest of this. So there's seven games with some type of logical thought behind it. Look, Vegas has the over at 5.5. If you play it at 5.5, you can get plus money. So Vegas thinks that maybe 4.5. I think it's closer to the 5.5. So if I was like, look, if you want to play plus money, play over 5.5. Believe they'll get 6 wins and either lose to the Rams or the Cardinals, they'll still have 6 wins. I think they can beat these other teams. It's just that how is the fan base going to feel with only one win after 6 weeks.
Yeah, and you know how it is, KJ. Every year, there's going to be one of these teams on the schedule that all of a sudden we're like, oh, wow, they're really good, and we didn't expect it. But then there's going to be another team that's like, oh, wow, we thought they'd be good, and they really fell off. Right? It happens essentially every year, so they're going to run into that too. And I think you're right, because that's the issue with this Patriots schedule. Like, you look at the first 6 weeks, all 6 of those teams, you could say, is a level better than the Patriots. And I'm not fully going against your Seattle logic, but just right on a neutral site, like, that team is a playoff level team. They're a cut above the Patriots. Cincinnati's a Super Bowl contender. The Jets could be one with Aaron Rodgers. San Francisco just lost the Super Bowl in overtime. Miami fades down the stretch every year, but it feels like they start out 5-0 every year under Mike McDaniel. They're always good early. Houston was just in the divisional round. Like, all those teams, you could make a case, are a legitimate level above the Patriots before they even get to that stretch you were talking about where there, I think, are some wins on the table.
Did you hear me mention them beating any AFC East teams?
Not off the top of my head.
Not at all. So literally they could go 0-6 in the division, and I still could see how they could win 6, possibly 7 games. So to me, that would say, hey, this is a team that has a good foundation to build off of. I think Drake May gets in there in the London game. because by that time you would have had enough of the bellyache, right? I think it's going to get really loud after week five. So that's why I can see where your week five number comes in, where people are like, ah, get Drake in there, get Drake in there. And you're kind of like, you know what? Where's the good launching point for him? So let's say Drake May gets in there in week seven, okay? And according to these wins that I said that they would have, they would win in week 7, 9, 10, 11, 13, and 15 with Drake May. You would almost feel like, hey, this guy might be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year if you look at how the Rookie of the Year has kind of worked when you've given it to quarterbacks, right? Like, if he performs well and they get wins in those games, it's much more than what you've expected for the team overall, and you've already gone through your dark period in the first 7 weeks of the season. So that's why I say there could be some real success for this team. It's just that if people can go through the growing pains of the first 7 weeks of hearing this and that and so forth and not winning any division games, hey, if you want to play it, plus 400, 4-1 odds that the Patriots don't win a division game in the AFC East.
And I think
so
$10
would win you 40.
And I think the placement of that week 14 bye week is interesting, right? Because if you start him week 7, right, that means he can play, what, 7 games? Then he has the bye week. So he can kind of, you know, 7 weeks of what is he good at? What is he not good at? What does he have to work on? Then you have that bye week to kind of reset. You have 4 more games to see what he corrected, what he didn't. And then you kind of have the offseason to hopefully correct, you know, all the other glaring flaws from there. So that's their placement of the bye week to me is interesting as well, because I think it comes at a time. And then you come out of the bye week against a bad Arizona team, and then you have that difficult last 3 games. But it comes at a time where I think you can kind of see, all right, what is this guy good at? What do we need to fix? And give him an opportunity to do that before that kind of tough last 3 games.
Wasn't it a couple of years ago the bye week was like week 9 or something like that?
Yeah.
If it was, if the bye week this year was week 9, I would say that's where you would make the change to Drake May. Right? But as you mentioned, because it's week 14, you can't say, okay, we're just going to just get lambasted for 13 weeks and then go to Drake May for the last 4, knowing that two of those games are division games. So, look, you can kind of give them a soft lead in and then take, you know, like if you get those wins and you lose those last couple of games, you know that those other teams are possibly playing for playoff spot location. And then I think the Bills may even be one of those teams that might be even playing to get into the playoffs. So they're going to be playing with urgency. You say, okay, for a young quarterback, now he's going to get a real good competitive game from a division opponent. That's going to mean something, and they're going to give him everything. But yet he's had some notches on his belt where he's seen wins and some losses. So I think he'll be ready. Well, there's part of me thinks he's ready now, but I think the perfect landing place for him would be week 7.
Can I give you a little sneaky conspiracy theory here, KJ?
I love a conspiracy theory, brother.
So you keep mentioning that London game, and you were talking about their middle of the season bye week. And I've been thinking about this for a while.
Mac Jones?
This is probably the this may be unprecedented. At the very least, it's highly unusual. They don't have a bye week after the London game. Like almost every team that plays overseas, London, Germany, they always have a bye week the week after. This is somebody text or call, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's unprecedented. At the very least, it's highly unusual.
And I think didn't it happen to Baltimore last year? Baltimore didn't have a bye. They chose not to take the bye week and played immediately the next week.
If that's the case, then that was their choice, right?
That was their choice,
decision.
So there's 2 things about this that I think might be at play here. One, I think this is also the NFL telling you you stink, and they're not worried about you needing extra rest after that. But 2, this might be, and with Baltimore, a sneaky test, little backhanded test by the NFL of the viability of putting a team in London in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I don't think, if
you can play the next week and still be okay, and play a few weeks after that, still be okay, then it kind of helps them out with that.
Yeah, but that's such a competitive edge. I think you have to keep it within the three time zones, right? Because if that's the case, then put one in Honolulu.
Right,
and
but
still
if they
keep
play,
it in America.
Like if you had a team play in London and then tell them, all right, your next 4 games are going to be like a Midwest
on the
trip,
road.
And you play like at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, at wherever. Like,
so you're not home for 4 weeks? That's such a competitive disadvantage.
It's the NFL, man. They care more about money than anything. We know
okay,
that.
Okay, so you can do that by saying, okay, we're going to move to 18 weeks. Now, I think, if anything, they should move to 19 weeks, right?
Oh.
I think
they should go back to 16 games.
No, here's why. Because
I hate 17 and I hate 18.
But here's no more of the, there are 500 team on the fence. Either you finish 8-9 or 9-8. Or if you get to 17 games, either you finish 10-9 or 9-10. Like there's no candy ass in halfway. You know, my foot's in one side and it's on the other side. No, like either you have a winning record or a losing record. I do like that with the 17 games. But I think, I just think putting a team 5 hours ahead of you in the time zone does not, it's a competitive disadvantage. Mexico City, safety advantage, disadvantage. Brazil, you're already hearing what Slayton is already saying about going down to Brazil. That's a little unsafe.
You couldn't pay me to have this show down in Brazil.
You could pay me. Now,
right,
when
yeah,
I was
so you
single,
go down there, I'll stay here.
Oh, when I was single, we could do KJ and Lions every day in Rio. Now, there might be like, by the time we get to year three in the show, I might have seven kids working on the show, all under the age of three. But my point being is, I think you have to keep it in this three time zone construct, right? Because you have to think about television, you have to think about the Los Angeles audience, right? Because think about it, a 9:30 game that's being played in the East Coast is at 7:30 in L.A. L.A. is already lazy about getting up to going to anything. They're not up for a 7:30 game. So that's the thing that I can't see. You could just go 5 hours and say, okay, this team's going to play at 9:30. I mean, because if it's about playing, you know, as many games as you want, then hello to the Friday game, and they can play him just as long as you don't play him in America because, you know, it's against the rules to play an NFL game 50 miles within a high school football game on Friday night. So it goes against that trust rule. So that's why this Friday night game is in Brazil. But if you think, hey, live from Toronto, it's the NFL playing neutral site games, I would rather see that than to see a team sitting in London, because then you're going to have another team that's going to be based over there just so that way you can have games in regular time over there and at least someone else have that same competitive advantage. You just can't be like one team that just sits over there and then, you know, comes over here to America for 6 weeks in a row and playing games. That's a disadvantage.
Just keep it in the back of your mind. I think
okay, brother.
The NFL
okay.
puts money first.
I mean, if COINTELPRO was real, why couldn't this be real? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right, KJ Lyons continues next. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. A new game called Get Over or Go Under. NFL team totals next here on WEEI.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever.
Of
and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience, is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, Zach, turn that up. Turn that up, Zach. KJ and Lyons, WEEI. I guess this is kind of an illegal, legal show, John, because usually it's Sunday mornings going with coffees and brunch, but we're here leading you up to NFL kickoff here on WEEI. That's at 7:30. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. I got to ask you, and I also have to ask Zach, especially Zach, because I know he was on such a high on Monday night. Were you guys screaming in jubilation at the TV when BC beat Florida State on Monday?
I absolutely was.
I wasn't screaming in jubilation, but I was enjoying it. That was fun. That was cool.
You know why I was screaming in jubilation? Because the last time like BC football was relevant might have been when you had a DVD player that didn't have wide scan.
Yeah. Matt Ryan in 07, right. Man. Matt Ryan.
Like, it wasn't streamed. Like, there was no app and you could watch the game on.
I would also add, though, in 07, right, the Patriots went undefeated. They had three Super Bowls in 4 years, a few years before that. This is the first time BC, I think, has been relevant at the same time the Patriots have been down since Doug Flutie was here, right? Like, really, if you think, like, it's been a very, very long time. And I know BC had some upset wins, and like, they beat Notre Dame in the 90s, I think, at some point. But
yeah,
from from a week one perspective, this, I think, is the first time since Flutie's era where they were really relevant and the Patriots were down, too.
So, look, I'm not one of those who's going to say, let's discuss the X's and O's of BC football. That's not really
Thomas Castellanos, first down runs on that final touchdown drive. Come on, KJ. Let's dive
into the woods.
KJ.
No, because here's the thing. You cover the overview, right? The team has been, like, non-existent. Like, think about it. More people were familiar with Chris Sale falling off his bike at BC, then you would know, be able to name like five players from BC when he fell off the bike.
I think the last time they won eight games was 2009, if I read that right. I
mean, it's a long time. They are in a division that is so bad, right? And Bill O'Brien has this sell thing that I think you're going to start seeing in college football that's a little bit bigger than NIL is, I was part of this Patriots dynasty. So now it's almost like, hey, I want to send my kid. That's why I would not be surprised if Steve Belichick doesn't get a major job offer next year. Because if they see what Bill, if Bill O'Brien could turn around BC and its academic standards and you get kids to play, because they're not budging on the academic standards at BC. It's not going to be like, hey, well, just write a good essay and you're here. No. So you're going to be able to do that. And now I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Belichick's name doesn't come up for Florida State. ACC is horrible. There's this window of opportunity. So if someone doesn't want to discuss BC football, like, just why not say out loud you don't know how to get to a creative angle about something?
Call KJ and Lyons. We'll talk about it.
We're not going to talk about play-by-play and scheme. That's the boring crap.
I might. Thank you. Yes.
No, please don't. But when we say late, wait a minute. ACC gets an automatic bid into this college football thing, and now BC could be one of those slotted teams no matter what, if they just by winning the thing. Like, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and if you look at this, right, like Florida State has now lost two games, so they're essentially going to be out of it. Miami had an impressive win against Florida. Clemson got smoked, but I think...
John, I was just trying to talk about BC.
Look, I know, but I'm getting to your point of Clemson got smoked, but they were also playing Georgia, and everybody's going to get smoked by Georgia except maybe the top three teams in the country. So BC now, I think, is in that group. It's only been 1 week, but with Clemson and with Miami, as the teams I look at is... who I think can win the ACC. And as you said, you win the ACC, automatic bid in the playoff.
Yeah, ACC sucks. Boston College's head coach does not.
And Zach Coe went to BC.
There you go. So I know Zach was sky high.
Is there anybody at EEI that didn't go to BC?
I went to North Carolina A&T.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's nowhere close
to
BC.
I feel like half the people that worked here went to BC.
My college is a BC. It's a black college. That's if you want BC in that regard.
Okay. All right.
37937. We're a minute away from go under, go over. Zach, what you got?
All righty. First text coming in. This one actually just came in. KJ, woo, you need a weekday show. So a little love for you.
Oh, thank you. The check is in the mail. Well, actually, I have your Cash App, so we're good.
Second one, talking about the Patriots, your Patriots win total prediction. This is a whole lot of wishful thinking. The Patriots are going to be lucky if they win three games, no shot at seven.
They won four last year, so they're more unlucky than they were last year? Yeah. Like, I think there's just a Mayo bias that thinks like, oh, this guy just cannot do the job at all.
Like, I think they're going to win five, which still technically would be an improvement over last year and more than three. Not good, to be clear, but yeah.
I think if they win either the Rams game or the Cardinals game, that would be the, oh, wow, that's a game I didn't expect them to win. But five in there, I would say. Six is a possible. Seven would be amazing. All right. Still to come, we've got Just the Jag, where we look at the NFL quarterbacks and who are these guys that are just the guy on the field and who are great. But right now it's time for the debut of...
Do you have any idea what the odds are? Shoot, it's got to be in the millions.
One dog goes one way, we go under. Another dog goes the other way. Gotta get over. One dog goes one way, we go under. Another dog goes the other way.
Get over. So here are the win totals projected by BetMGM. I will say I believe in the over, the under. Same thing with John. If the producer has a challenge to one of ours, he'll jump in. All right, here we go. 49ers. The total 11.5. John, over or under?
Over. I think they're the best roster in the NFL, and I know there's a little Super Bowl hangover, but I think they're just so good they're going to go over that.
I'm going to go with the over as well, because when you get to the weaker teams in the NFC, oh, they're pretty weak.
Get over.
All right, the Chiefs, the number is 11.5. Over or under?
I think they're over. They won the Super Bowl, and they got better. I mean, that's a better roster than a year ago. I think it's over.
Get over. I'm with you right there as well. I mean, there's even minus money for them to hit over 11.5. I don't think we'll be able to get to all of them, but we'll get to the big ones. The Jets, 10.5 is the number. Over or under?
I have them over. I have them winning 11. I think they win 11 and they win the division.
Get over.
I think they're going to be a team that gets to the AFC Championship, so I'm going to have them going over as well.
Get over.
The Eagles, 10.5. Over, under.
Over, KJ. I think they might have the best record in all the NFL.
Get over.
I agree. I can see them 13, maybe even 14 wins with them probably only losing a marquee game. This one's interesting. Bengals, 10.5. Over, under.
Over.
Get over.
I'm going to go under. I'm just
wondering.
Uh-oh. Is there a producer challenge? Zach, you don't think so?
Yeah, I'm a Bengals guy. I mean, last year they almost won the NFC North with
without Joe Burrow. Yeah,
yeah, without Joe
Jake
Burrow.
Browning.
Yeah, Jake Browning. It looks like Jamar Chase is going to play. They have an explosive offense. I'm a really big Chase Brown guy too, so I think he's going to take over that starting running back spot. I'm a Bengals guy.
Zach used the producer challenge, John. All right, that because at 10.5 as well are the Ravens, over or under?
Oh, that's an over. I think they might get the one seed in the AFC.
Get over.
I'm going to go with over because that's why I had the Bengals at under.
Get over.
Lions, 10.5. Over, under.
Over.
Get over.
I'm with you as well. I think outside of Green Bay, I think that division is going to be a chance for them to just scoop up four wins between Minnesota and from Chicago. The Bears, over, they have them at 9.5. Over, under.
So I have them just over. I think they can go 10-7. Even if Caleb Williams has some struggles, that's such a good roster. And your point about the Vikings being down to and some of those lower NFC teams, I think they can get to 10.
Get over.
I'm going to take the under. If I'm going to say that the Bears may lose to the Patriots, that would put them under that 10 that you like. So I like them at under 9.5. Another producer's challenge. Zach?
Yeah, so the Bears already had a really good defense last year. They had the 9 overall pick for themselves. Obviously, they got Caleb Williams from that trade with the Panthers, and then they loaded up with Odunze and Keenan Allen. I think Caleb Williams, he had Zachariah Branch last year. I don't think he threw to Jordan Addison, but he's had talent around him in the past, and that USC offense couldn't block a soul last year, and he was still really explosive. So now I think with an NFL offensive line around him and with all those weapons, he's going to be really, really good.
That's interesting because there's plus 125 on the Bears hitting the over, so Vegas doesn't believe they will. All right, Bills, over, under 9.5.
Just barely over. I think they win 10 games.
Get over.
I'm going to say just barely under. just because the way the Jets are lined up, we still get to the Dolphins. I think it's going to be a little tougher for the Bills this year. I think they're right at 9.
Go under.
All right, Green Bay Packers, 9.5. What do you got? Over, under?
I have them over. I think they're going to continue to build on what they did last year. I think they're going to win 11 or 12 games.
Get over.
Ooh, I'm going to have to take the over just because that's the sexy pick with them. So, yeah, I'm with the over.
Get over.
Texans, 9.5. Over, under?
Over, just barely, though. 10 or 11 for me.
Get over.
I'm going to go with the over as well because the AFC South, I think, is going to be pretty weak division. This year. The Dolphins, over, under 9.5.
So I have them right on the edge, 8-9.
The Cowboys, over, under 9.5.
Over, but as we know, KJ, all that matters there is what happens in January.
Get over.
I'm going to go under. I think 9 might right be the number for them to get to because of the way the Eagles, the 49ers, Detroit, Green Bay. So I think they're that team that probably ends up with 9 wins and maybe is the last wild card team to get in.
Go under.
All right, so there you go. Only 2 producer challenges and go over, get under. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, the last 30 minutes next here on WEEI. Yeah. One of the most underrated air guitar songs in the history of man, just like KJ and Lyons, the second hour here on WEEI. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're taking you up to 7:30, which will be the kickoff to the Chiefs, Ravens, Westwood One Network here on WEEI. And you're 15 minutes away from Just the Jag, which I know John is just chomping at the bit to get to.
Certainly am.
John, I'm kind of impressed, John, for those who follow us, KJ and Lyons. We're a show that you hear usually very early Sunday morning. So if your dog barks like uncontrollably early, like 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, it's probably because you have it on WEEI and it's just like, just turn that thing off. I'm kidding. But Just the Jag, we literally call out guys who are just the Jag out there on the field. It's one of those bits, John, that you have to be very careful when you get around players because they'll be like, you called me a Jag?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. So, Got to look over my shoulder when I go to Patriots practice.
But John does it with his chest. He says it with his chest when he does this, when we do this bit. So that's in 15 minutes. So let's look around the NFL and let's get to division winners and then let's just see how playoffs could potentially shake out. We'll start in the NFC and let's start in the NFC North, which this is the division that is kind of the sexy time division. You got the Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings. Give me the winner of that division.
So I think if J.J. McCarthy hadn't gotten hurt, this was going to be the best division in football. I have Detroit winning it. And look, I know they had the disappointment in the NFC Championship game, but they have the best offensive line in football. They have a good defensive line. You're going to get a full season of Jahmyr Gibbs, Jamison Williams to go along with Amon-Ra St. Brown. And K.J., for my money, one of the biggest moves of the offseason was Ben Johnson deciding to stay in Detroit. Yeah. For one more year. He has worked magic with Jared Goff that, frankly, even Sean McVay wasn't able to work with Jared Goff. And Goff deserves some credit, too. But I got Detroit winning that division.
Yeah, give me the Lions as well. It doesn't feel like there's the Dan Campbell gimmick as much as that this team has bought in as they performed. Like I said, when they beat the Chiefs opening night last year at this time, I said, okay, these guys are for real. NFC South, which usually is, you know, kill the man with the ball. Falcons, Carolina, Saints, Bucks, who you got in the South?
So I got the Falcons here, and I felt for a while they have a really nice young core on offense with Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Chris Lindstrom, also a BC product on that offensive line, too. Now they finally have a competent quarterback. And Raheem Morris, look, I know Bill Belichick would have been a better hire there, but he's been an NFL head coach before. He's been around the block. I think he'll do a solid job there. Defensively, I think they'll be good enough, and they'll win that division.
All right, I'm going to go with you as well. It's just pick one, the rest of them just kind of hold your nose with.
Yeah.
In the NFC East, Dallas, Giants, Eagles, Commanders, who wins the division?
I think it's going to be the Eagles. I mean, this Eagles team, KJ, I saw them up close and personal at that Patriots joint practice. I was there. That is a team that is big, strong, and fast. And I know that's a cliche, but they are bigger, stronger, and faster than just about everyone else in the NFL. I think Jalen Hurts could win the MVP, and I think they're going to win that division and get the one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, I like the Eagles as well. It's crazy. The Eagles will do so well in the NFC East that by the Cowboys being second in that division will probably allow Mike McCarthy to keep his job. It's only because the Giants and the Commanders are so bad. All right, to the NFC West. Oh, this is Really, is it San Francisco's to lose?
I think so. Like, I think Arizona could be one of the worst teams in the league. The Rams, I think, are going to be solid, but that Aaron Donald loss is going to loom large. In Seattle, first-year head coach, Geno Smith has done a good job there, but he's not an elite quarterback either. So I think that's San Francisco's division to lose.
All right, I think we're in agreement so far in North, South, East, West. North, the Lions. South, the Falcons. East, the Eagles. West, the 49ers. Can you give me three wild cards out of the NFC that you see?
Yeah, so for me, Cowboys are the first wild card in, and then Packers and Bears. I think the South and West just send the division winner.
Yeah, I think, that's how weak the NFC really is that it's very easy to pick out. That's why we now move to the AFC. We'll start in the AFC North. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Who wins the division?
So I think this is going to be the best division in the NFL. And I think the Ravens are going to win it. They're just awesome. And I think, look, if Zay Flowers did make a couple big mistakes last year, maybe they win that AFC Championship game. Or if they decided to actually run the ball, right? Maybe they win it. Now they add Derrick Henry. I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the league, and I think they win that division.
How about if the Ravens lose tonight, I think the Bengals win the AFC North? Because I could see it playing out where Cincinnati and Baltimore both split the series between each other, both beat Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And then the tiebreaker comes to something else that's happened in the AFC, like an AFC record would give them the division lead. So I think if Baltimore loses tonight, which I think can really happen, I'm going to take the Bengals to win the North. All right, in the South, you got Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Who you got there?
So I like Houston. I think the rest of this division is mid at best. Like, I think the Jaguars will be like 9-8 or so. The Colts are going to be below 500. I think Tennessee could be one of the worst teams in the league. So I think this is the Texans division to lose.
And plus, Texas also has that lack of income tax, so that I think Texans are going to be one of these teams that are going to be stacked for years to come. I think they can only shoot themselves in the foot more so than anybody, I think, in this division, giving them a headache. So I'm with you with Houston there. In the AFC East, now we can go ahead and eliminate our Patriots, right?
Yeah, sadly, I think we can.
I don't want to even blow the bugle horn, but well, we've been doing it for 3 years anyway. It's not even the last three years. Jets, Bills, Dolphins. Who wins the AFC East?
Look, I think it's the Jets. I mean, it's a team that won seven games with Zach Wilson starting at quarterback.
For and his backup.
Like you give me Aaron Rodgers healthy for a year, even if he's just competent, like not even great Aaron Rodgers, just competent, I think they get to 11 wins or so and they win this division. This is a really, really good roster the Jets have put together. I hate to say it, but it is.
I think this is going to be one of the divisions that competes with the AFC North is probably the best division in football because clearly your last place team is going to be your last place team. I like the Jets as well. If Aaron Rodgers does not get hurt, I think this is a team that's designed. I think it'll be one and done for Rodgers, but I think this is a team that really has a chance to go to the AFC Championship. All right, let's go to the AFC West. Just the same way as the NFC West. Is this just really the Chiefs and everybody else just kind of hanging out?
No, I think this is going to be a dogfight between the Chiefs and the Chargers. I think the Chiefs are going to win this division, but I think they're only going to win it by one game. That Chargers team, I think, is going to be for real this year under Jim Harbaugh.
So I see where you're coming from because maybe the Chiefs in one of these super games that they have to play take a loss, so they may have an AFC loss, and that gives the Chargers at least a game to get closer to them than versus an absolute blowout. Maybe they're the one team that splits with the Chiefs this year. Who knows? But I think it's the Chiefs to win. All right, so we've got the Jets. We both agree on the Jets. We both agree on the Texans. We both agree on the Chiefs. And we both agree on
the Ravens. Well, you
said the Ravens. I said the Bengals.
Bengals, okay.
So that's where our split is. Okay, so we've got those. So obviously either the Bengals or the Ravens, they would be one of the wild cards according to us, right? So that's one. Give me the two other wild cards.
So the Bills and the Chargers are my two others.
My two others would be Miami and the Chargers.
Okay.
I think the Bills missed
the playoffs.
I do. I think if Gabe Davis was your number one receiver, I would think there would be more of a comfort level for Josh Allen because I think we're really going to see is how important was Stephon Diggs to him, just the same way we had this Brady Belichick conversation. That's going to be his conversation there. If Gabe Davis was still there, then at least there's a person who's familiar with what he wants to do. So you've got a rookie, Keon Coleman, who you figure they're going to have time to acclimate. But this is a division where you don't have time to try and figure some things out. Remember, Buffalo started off slow last year and then took off towards the end of the season. I can see them starting off slow again this year and not having enough to catch up just because of a team like the Chargers being able to pop. Okay, so your best team out of the NFC, you believe? So you believe in the NFC, the championship game would be Philadelphia and San Francisco?
I think it would actually be Detroit and Philadelphia. I think San Francisco is a great team all year, but just the last couple deep playoff runs catches up with them, and they lose before the conference championship.
In the AFC, you like?
The Ravens and the Chiefs as a rematch in the conference championship.
And your Super Bowl would be?
The Lions and the Ravens.
Wow. So yeah. I like the Eagles. I like the Eagles and the 49ers in the NFC. I like the Eagles to come out in that one again. And in the AFC, I think it's the Jets and the Chiefs, with the Jets on the road at the Chiefs. And Aaron Rodgers does it one last time. Eagles, Jets, Super Bowl.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, did you think about it? I have the Lions in the Super Bowl. You have the Jets. First time in my lifetime, I think a couple of people have said that.
Yeah, well, they probably realize, like, those guys are crazy. All right, we wrap up the show next with Just a Jag. We look at the NFL quarterbacks. Who gets the Jag treatment? But right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Rough stretch continued for the Red Sox last night as the Mets completed a three-game sweep of your Red Sox, beating them 8-3. Sox fall back to 500, have now lost five games in a row, and now sit 5.5 games back in the wild card hunt, tied with the Tigers and Mariners. They're off tonight, getting ready to host the historically bad White Sox in a weekend series at Fenway Park. First game tomorrow night. Nick Pivetta taking the mound opposite Davis Martin for the White Sox. First pitch at 7:10, which means the MassMutual pregame show gets underway at 6:10. Patriots back at practice today as they continue to get ready for their season opening kickoff game against the Bengals on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff set for 1 p.m. from Paul Brown Stadium. Little news for the Bengals after holding in for the entirety of the preseason. Bengals three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase was back on the field with the team yesterday. NFL season officially gets underway tonight. Ravens in Kansas City to take on the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs looking to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. Kickoff at 8:20. Don't forget you can listen to that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage kicks off in about 15 minutes at 7:30. Or you can download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. My name is Echo. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Wrapping things up with KJ and Lyons right after this.
Thank you for spending your time with KJ and Lyons. We're here for about another 7-8 minutes, and then we get into the NFL coverage to kick off the NFL season here on WEEI. And, John, it's breaking news. Taylor Swift has now shown up at Arrowhead Stadium. Oh!
Yep, I saw her there. So she's not at the KJ Lyons program. She is at Arrowhead
Stadium. Thank God, because when she wears that fashion from that designer, Nowasatul, it just kind of just, I'm like, just go on.
I don't even know who that is, man.
Zach, are you familiar with fashion by from Nowasatul?
I am, yep.
Slow it down on the Odyssey app. If you missed any of the show, you can play it back. The Odyssey app is free. Type in WEEI to bring you right here. All right, John, you've been salivating and waiting for it all show. Hit it, Zach! Yeah!
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag. Just a guy.
Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad.
Kind of sucks.
Doesn't stand out on the field. Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
All right, John, I'll give you the quarterback. Just a Jag or more than a Jag? AFC East, Josh Allen.
More than a Jag. He's legit. We know that.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Ah, sneaky Jag, KJ. Sneaky Jag.
I have to agree, after the Brian Flores thing that he mentioned, is like, okay, you got your money, you've got your team, you're still crying? That's a little Jag behavior. Jacoby Brissett.
He is such a Jag, KJ, he should be on a TV set with Catherine Bell and David James Elliott. That's
just a guy. Oh, you stayed up all night to write that one, didn't you? Aaron Rodgers in his possible final years with the Jets?
I still think he's above a Jag, but only a little bit now.
All right, so to the AFC North, we've got two Jags in the AFC East. Wow, Tua, Brissett. In the AFC North, Lamar Jackson.
Way above a Jag.
Joe Burrow.
Way above a Jag.
Deshaun Watson.
Now he's a Jag. Three years ago he wasn't, but now I think he is.
Wow. Can I get a second one for those who are backstage in the massage parlor?
Just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy. Some things happen. Russell Wilson.
Oh, he's below a Jag.
Wow.
He's not there anymore.
So two Jags in the AFC. He's two Jags in the AFC North. Let's go to the AFC South. CJ Stroud with the Texans.
He's above a Jag. Legit.
Anthony Richardson for the Colts.
Can we say jury's out on him? We don't even know.
No, you got to see. He's a Jag or not.
So I'll say Jag for now, but
just a guy.
He's just a guy right now. Trevor Lawrence signed all that money. He's a Jag?
No, I think he's above a Jag. I know he's hasn't been the John Elway people thought he would be, but I think he's above a Jag.
And let's go to the Titans with all that receivers that said no for Will Levis.
Yeah, no, he's below a Jag.
Oh, gosh. So how crazy is this? Two Jags in the AFC South, two Jags in the AFC North, two Jags in the AFC East. Go to the AFC West, Bo Nix.
Oh, he's a Jag. Like him, but I mean, come on, he hasn't played a game.
Just a guy.
Patrick Mahomes.
Above a Jag.
Gardner Minshew II.
Definition of Jag.
Just a guy.
And Justin Herbert.
Oh, way above a Jag.
So we have two Jags in each division in the AFC East. That's eight Jags in the AFC. Wow. NFC East, we're moving quick. Dak Prescott.
Above a Jag.
Daniel Jones.
Below a Jag.
He's just a guy, huh? Jalen Hurts.
Above a Jag.
Jaden Daniels.
Jag.
Just a guy.
Two Jags in the NFC East. In the NFC North, Caleb Williams.
Above a Jag.
Jared Goff.
Above a Jag.
Jordan Love.
Above a Jag.
And Sam Darnold.
Way below a Jag.
So in the NFC North, only one Jag. In the NFC South, Kirk Cousins.
Jag.
Wow, that's an expensive Jag. Bryce Young.
Below a Jag.
Wow, okay, yeah. Derek Carr.
Below a Jag.
Baker Mayfield.
No, I'll give him slightly above a Jag. He's gotten a lot better.
Wow, so the NFC South, three of the four quarterbacks are Jags to John, and in the NFC West, Kyler Murray.
Jag.
Matthew Stafford.
Above a Jag. Above.
Brock Purdy.
Above a Jag.
Geno Smith.
Jaggy.
Just a guy.
He's right on the border.
Wow. And there is Jag. Wow. Is that fascinating to you?
Yeah, well, I think it says there's only a handful of truly elite quarterbacks to above average quarterbacks. So,
but we talk about how strong the AFC is, but yet every division in the AFC has at least two Jags.
Yeah. But I think in fairness in the AFC, like Drake May has the potential to be more than a Jag, right? Some of these younger guys.
But he's not
guys,
the week one starter.
No, I get, but I'm saying, so if you look at these teams, like they might have potential to surpass that. Like, who knows? Deshaun Watson could bounce back and be much better than that. So at least, like, I know what you're saying, but at least there's potential there.
So I don't know when's the next time you will hear KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, so you can play the music here, Zach, because there are some pros and cons of us not being together on the air for the foreseeable future, John. So here are the pros. No more KJ playing that damn DEI rap music.
Even though I like it more than you.
Yeah, that's crazy. Shout out to, rest in peace, what is it, Quavo? Not Quavo, who's the guy that died today?
I forget.
Rich Homie Quan.
Rich Homie Quan. See, I don't know rap music that deep. Another pro of not hearing KJ and Lyons is listeners don't have to get up first thing on a Sunday morning or stay up past their bedtimes after midnight to hear us.
That's true.
Yeah, so they get to sleep back and no more of KJ's stupid stories from the 1800s. Who wants to hear about the time he's sitting in Kansas City in George Brett's bar with a guy named Fred who dominates here and another guy named Chris who's the boss of here and KJ is here like 2 days a week? So no more of those. Those are the pros of no more KJ and Lyons. The cons? John's calming demeanor and balance. I'm going to miss it, man.
Thank you, KJ.
The other con is KJ and Lyons is actually the best show on the air in Boston. I'm not kidding when I say that. Ask those who follow the show religiously. Humor, music, honest sports talk, and like self-depreciating humor. And the other con, what if KJ and Lyons isn't really disappearing, John?
Interesting. WEEI night without a Red Sox game, and we're on? Interesting.
You thought it was going to be all bad. If you missed any of the show, of course, the app is free, WEEI at Odyssey, at The Real John Lyons, no H in Lyons at Twitter, at KJ Carson. NFL, it's here. I get to ignore the family a little more. This is great. Enjoy. And John, I'll talk to you again to be determined.
Soon.
See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.